A few days passed. We were no longer thinking about the selection. We went to work as usual and loaded the heavy stones onto the freight cars. The rations had grown smaller. That was the only change. We had risen at dawn, as we did every day. We had received our black coffee, our ration of bread. We were about to head to the workyard, as always. The block eldest came running. "Let's have a moment of quiet. I have here a list of numbers. I shall read them to you. All those called will not go to work this morning. They will stay in camp." Softly, he read some 10 numbers. We understood. These were the numbers from the selection. Dr. Mengele had not forgotten. The block eldest had turned to go to his room. The 10 prisoners surrounded him, clinging to his clothes. "Save us! You promised! We want to go to the depot. We are strong enough to work. We are good workers. We want... He tried to calm them, to reassure them about their fate, to explain to them that staying in the camp did not mean much, had no tragic significance. "After all, I stay here every day." The argument was more than flimsy. He realized it, and without another word, locked himself in his room. The bell had just rung. "Form ranks!" Now, it no longer mattered that the work was hard. All that mattered was to be far from the block, far from the crucible of death, from the center of hell. I saw my father running in my direction. Suddenly, I was afraid. "What is happening?" He was out of breath, hardly able to open his mouth. "Me too. Me too. They told me to stay in the camp." They had recorded his number without his noticing. "What are we going to do?" I said anxiously. But it was he who tried to reassure me. "It's not certain yet. There's still a chance. Today they will do another selection, a decisive one." I said nothing. He felt time was running out. He was speaking rapidly. He wanted to tell me so many things. His speech became confused. His voice was choked. He knew that I had to leave in a few moments. He was going to remain alone. So alone. "Here, take this knife," he said. "I won't need it anymore. You may find it useful. Also, take this spoon. Don't sell it. Quickly, go ahead. Take what I'm giving you." My inheritance. "Don't talk like that, Father." I was on the verge of breaking into sobs. "I don't want you to say such things. Keep the spoon and knife. You will need them as much as I. We'll see each other tonight after work." He looked at me with his tired eyes. Veiled by despair, he insisted, "I am asking you. Take it. Do as I ask you, my son. Time is running out. Do as your father asks you." Our capo shouted the orders to march. The commando headed toward the camp gate, left, right. I was biting my lips. My father had remained near the block, leaning against the wall. Then he began to run to try to catch up with us. Perhaps he had forgotten to tell me something, but we were marching too fast, left, right. We were at the gate. We were being counted. Around us, the din of military music. Then we were outside. All day, I plodded around like a sleepwalker. Tibby and Yossi would call out to me from time to time, trying to reassure me, as did the capo who had given me easier tasks that day. I felt sick at heart. How kindly they treated me, like an orphan. I thought, even now my father is helping me. I myself didn't know whether I wanted the day to go by quickly or not. I was afraid of finding myself alone that evening. How good it would be to die right here. At last we began the return journey. How I longed for an order to run. The military march, the gate, the camp, I ran toward Block 36. Were there still miracles on this earth? He was alive. He had passed the second selection. He had still proved his usefulness. I gave him back his knife and spoon.